Yatra yatra harer archa. Sadesha sriyasampadam. Yatra gangadayo nadya. Puraneshu cha vishvatha.
Auspicious indeed are the places where there is a temple of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, in which he is duly worshipped, and also the places where there flow the celebrated sacred rivers mentioned in the Puranas, the supplementary Vedic literatures. Anything spiritual done there is certainly very effective. There are many atheists who oppose the worship of the deity of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the temple. In this verse, however, it is authoritatively stated that any place where the deity is worshipped is transcendental. It does not belong to the material world. It is also said that the forest is in the mode of goodness, and therefore those who want to cultivate spiritual life are advised to go to the forest. Vanam gatoya dharimashrayeta. But one should not go to the forest simply to live like a monkey. Monkeys and other ferocious animals also live in the forest. But a person who goes to the forest for spiritual culture must accept the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as shelter. Vanam gatoyam dharimashrayeta. One should not be satisfied simply to go to the forest. One must take shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this age, therefore, since it is impossible to go to the forest for spiritual culture, one is recommended to live in the temple community as a devotee, regularly worship the deity, follow the regulative principles, and thus make the place like Vaikuntha. The forest may be in goodness, the cities and villages in passion, and the brothels, hotels, and restaurants in ignorance. But when one lives in the temple community, he lives in Vaikuntha. Therefore it is said here, Shrayasam Padam, it is the best, most auspicious place. In many places throughout the world, we are constructing communities to give shelter to devotees and worship the deity in the temple. The deity cannot be worshipped except by devotees. Temple worshippers who fail to give importance to the devotees are third class. Temple worshippers who fail to give importance to the devotees are third class. They are Kanishta Adhikaris in the lower stage of spiritual life. As it is said in Srimad Bhagavatam, Archayam Eva Haraye Pujanya Shraye Hate Natad Bhakteshu Chanyeshu Sadbhakta Prakrita Smritaha. A person who is very faithfully engaged in the worship of the deity in the temple, but does not know how to behave toward devotees or people in general, is called a Prakrita Bhakta or Kanishta Adhikari. Therefore, in the temple, there must be the deity of the Lord, and the Lord should be worshipped by the devotees. This combination of the devotees and the deity creates a first-class transcendental place. Aside from this, if a grihastha devotee worships the Shaligram Shila, or the form of the deity at home, his home also becomes a very great place. It was therefore necessary for the members of the three higher classes, namely the Brahmins, Kshatriyas, and Vaishyas, to worship the Shalagram Shila, or a small deity of Radha Krishna or Sitaram, in each and every house. This made everything auspicious. But now they have given up the deity worship. Men have become modernized and are consequently indulging in all sorts of sinful activities, and therefore they are extremely unhappy. According to Vedic civilization, therefore, the holy places of pilgrimage are considered most sacred. And still there are hundreds and thousands of holy places like Jagannath Puri, Vrindavan, Haridwar, Rameshwar, Prayag, and Mathura. India is the place for worshipping or for cultivating spiritual life. The Krishna consciousness movement invites everyone from all over the world without discrimination as to caste or creed to come to its centers and cultivate spiritual life perfectly. We are reading this morning from Canto 7, Chapter 14 of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is entitled Ideal Family Life. Narada Muni is speaking to Maharaj Yudhisthira about how a grihastha living with family can properly execute devotional service and achieve the ultimate perfection in this very life. In the previous verse, Narada Muni explains the places that are most auspicious to perform devotional service. Therein he says, anywhere where there is a sincere Vaishnava, that place is all auspicious for devotional service. We are reading this morning from Canto 7, Chapter 14 of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is entitled Ideal Family Life. Narada Muni is speaking to Maharaj Yudhisthira about how a grihastha living with family can properly execute devotional service and achieve the ultimate perfection in this very life. In the previous verse, Narada Muni explains the places that are most auspicious to perform devotional service. Therein he says, anywhere where there is a sincere Vaishnava, that place is all auspicious for devotional service. And he continues here, glorifying the holy places. What makes a holy place is when people come together to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prabhupada explains that in India, there are many holy places. Jagannath Puri, Haridwar, Badrikashram, Rameshwaram, Vrindavan Mathura, Sri Mayapur Dham. And it is very important to regularly visit these places, to associate with the holy people, and to hear and chant the glories of the Lord in that place. The places where the sacred rivers flow, like Ganga, Jamuna, Saraswati, Narmada, Kaveri, Krishna, Gomati,
Godavari.
These holy places are very sacred. And when we enter into these holy lands and we engage in devotional service, the effect is multiplied. In fact, Srila Prabhupada told the devotees in Vrindavan that any devotional service you perform in Vrindavan, 100 times the benefit you will get from in an ordinary place. But simultaneously, any offense you commit in Vrindavan will be held 100 times more against you. The greatness of the land of Navadvip is any devotional service we perform in Navadvip, sincerely, 100 times the benefit. But any offenses we commit are not held against us. Therefore, it is the most important of all holy places in this age of Kali Yuga, where people are naturally so inclined toward committing offenses. The deity of the Lord, wherever he is giving his darshan, that is a holy place. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada explains that all over the world, he's established temples and created Vaikuntha, an oasis in the desert of material illusion. Srila Prabhupada was very, very concerned, due to his compassionate nature, that these temples with deities be established all over the world. In this purport, he describes how the forest is in the mode of goodness. The cities are in the mode of passion. The brothels, hotels, restaurants are in the mode of ignorance. But the temple is Vaikuntha. Previously, people, when they really wanted to search out for spiritual life, they would leave everything and go to the forest. But in the forest, they would simply take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prabhupada explains there are so many monkeys, lions, tigers, and snakes in the forest. They are not making any progress living in the forest. But when a human being goes to the forest to renounce all the pleasures, comforts of material life, to exclusively dedicate all one's attention on taking shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it is most auspicious. In the Vedic times, we see practically all great souls would go to the forest at a certain stage of their life. Even grihasthas. While they were raising their families, they knew there is a time when I'm going to leave them all and go to the forest and perhaps never see them again. So before that day comes, I have to establish them so strongly in devotional service that they will perfect their lives. That was the thinking. When grihasthas first get married, rather than going on honeymoon, that's something they call in the West, they should be making plans. How I could raise my family in such pure devotional service that day will come when I can happily go into the forest and leave everything behind nicely in such a way that Krishna will be satisfied. Just the other day, two wonderful devotees from our Radha Gopinath temple were married. So just after marriage, they went to Vrindavan in the winter and barefoot performed Govardhan Parikrama. They didn't go to Niagara Falls or Disney World to enjoy. They went to do Govardhan Parikrama. Govardhan Parikrama is simply tapasya in the winter, because they wanted to establish this is the purpose of their marriage. To become purified, to perform tapasya, to make spiritual advancement. The purpose of marriage is not sense gratification. That is grihamedi. The purpose of marriage is tapasya. We may have some comforts. We may have some types of enjoyments facilitated. But we somehow or other orient them all in such a way that we make spiritual progress. The purpose of marriage is to serve. That's the purpose of life in every varna, in every ashram. Samsidhir hari toshanam. If you please Krishna, you are successful. If you do not please Krishna, you are a failure. So Srila Prabhupada explains that in every home there should be a temple where the family is gathered together to worship the deity and invite people to come and give charity to them, preach to them, invite sadhus, beg them, preach to me. And along with that, Srila Prabhupada has established these wonderful centers where brahmacharis, grihastas, vanaprastas, sannyasis, brahmins, kshatriyas, vaishyas, shudras, whoever you may be, in whatever class, men, women, children, we all come together to the temple of the Supreme Personality of Godhead to hear the glories of Krishna together, to serve the deity of Krishna together, to make wonderful, wonderful, wonderful arrangements to worship them, to worship them in such a way that the whole world will be attracted to their transcendental forms. We should take prasad together, preach together, dance together, chant the holy names together. This process is more beneficial than going to the forest. You know, long ago, Bharat Maharaj, he went to the forest. He was very advanced. But because he had no association of devotees, he was bewildered by Maya. Maya knows where you are the weakest. Some of you are weak because you have lust. Some envy, some pride, some greed, some illusion. She knows just where to attack you, to bewilder your consciousness and divert you away from the path of bhakti. And she will attack you in so many ways from within and without. Therefore, it is essential that not only are we very strict in our regulative principles and our sadhana bhakti, but we also desperately require the association of devotees to help us, to give us support, to remind us. When you're on a battlefield, your comrades are your most important asset. You can't fight the enemy alone. When you're on that battlefield and the enemy is shooting arrows, shooting bombs, throwing hand grenades and bullets by the thousands flying in your direction, you have your fellow soldiers. You're not thinking at that time, I remember the time when you said this against me. I don't like the way you wear your dhoti. I don't like the way you chew your prasad. Do you remember the time when you stepped on my foot during kirtan? You don't think these things. Whatever petty little differences, whatever petty little insignificant, useless quarrels or misunderstandings we had in the past has no meaning whatsoever. All we know is, I need you desperately or I die. You need me desperately or you die. We need each other. That is the fact. The association of devotees will save us. Bharat Maharaj was practically on the platform of preliminary stage of bhava bhakti. But Maya knew that his weakness is his compassion for others. That's not a weakness, that's a strength. But she made it into a weakness by making him compassionate to an insignificant deer. He became so much affectionate and loving. He left his own beautiful wife, his well-behaved, illustrious children, his kingdom, his wealth, his power. He left it all, just as a man leaves his stool behind after passing.
Hare Krishna.
But then he became attached to this deer. The deer became very dear to him. His beautiful lotus eyes, nice little nose, and so lovely. And the deer was totally depending exclusively on him. The deer was taking full shelter of his lotus feet. How could I give up this deer? If he had the association of devotees, if he was in a brahmachari ashram, or if he had some fellow grihasthas around him, they would have said, Bharat Prabhu, don't you see what's happening to you? You're in Maya. This deer is distracting your attention. Ah, yes, yes, that is correct. Hare Krishna. So we need the association of devotees, whoever we are, however advanced we are. And that is the purpose of these temples, to provide people the opportunity to associate with devotees and learn how to worship the Supreme Personality of God. In this illustrious purport, Srila Prabhupada is explaining how important it is to learn how to properly respect and care for devotees. If we worship the deity very nicely, even if we perform our sadhana very carefully, but we're not carefully serving the Vaishnavas with care and attention, then we are prakrita bhaktas, materialistic devotees, kanishta adhikaris. The deity will not be very pleased with our devotional service. The Varaha Purana exclaims that the Lord is speaking, the one who is my devotee, he may or may not attain perfection, but one who is the servant of the servant of my devotees, he will without doubt certainly attain perfection. To serve the devotees, to care for the devotees, is the essence of Krishna consciousness. Because without that, the foundation of everything we do will not be strong. However beautiful buildings we have, however wonderful management systems we may have, if the devotees are not spiritually inspired, enlivened, unless they feel loved and cared for, everything we have developed is like a castle on the sand. It cannot stand, because it's the enthusiasm and the spirituality of the devotees that gives substance to that place. It's like a body without a soul. The first need is to the soul. And we also care for the body and build it nicely. Recently, in Bombay, Krishna revealed a very, very important lesson to me. It may not seem very relevant, but I want to share it with you for my purification. We wanted to perform a pious activity.
Rupa Goswami explains that one of the pious activities that's very favorable for devotional service is planting trees.
You have read that in Nectar of Devotion.
So I was thinking of all trees.
Kadamba tree is very special
because the Kadamba tree is most favorite tree of Lord Krishna. In Vrindavan, so many of his leelas he performed under Kadamba tree. When he subdued Kaliya, he climbed the Kadamba tree and jumped from that Kadamba tree and made it immortal by his lotus feet touching it. When he wanted to steal gopis' clothes after they did the Katyayani puja, he secretly stole all their clothes and climbed up on Kadamba tree. When Krishna at Dangati near Govardhan, when he would steal the, and also same pastime at Sankarikor in Barasana, he would steal the yogurt and butter of gopis. Then he would go into a nearby forest of Kadamba trees, Kadamba Kanana, and they would make leaf cups out of those Kadamba trees and distribute all that they had stolen, butter, and eat from those Kadamba tree leaves. In Vrindavan, he plays his flute under a banyan tree, Bamsivat. But when he performs Ras Leela in the springtime at Govardhan, he stands under a Kadamba tree and plays his flute to call gopis. Because a Kadamba tree is very light in complexion, thus it represents Srimati Radharani. And the Tamal tree is very dark in complexion, thus it represents Krishna. So we were thinking that the devotees will be very happy and Krishna will be pleased if we plant Kadamba tree in our courtyard.
Should I continue?
So they brought a selection of Kadamba trees. We were thinking, bring biggest one possible to plant. Then we don't have to wait so long for it to grow to be big. This is the modern way of thinking. So they brought one Kadamba tree that was 8 feet tall. Another one that was 5 feet tall. And another one that was hardly 1 foot tall. So of course, we decided we will plant the 8 foot one. The 8 foot one was 3 years old, the other was 2 years old, 2.5, and the other was hardly 1 year old. So we were thinking, why wait another 3 years? Just plant this one, then everyone can see a nice big tree growing up. So we had everything arranged. But Krishna intervened through his divine servant, Sanat Kumar Prabhu. We were so excited to plant this big tree. The roots, everything was right ready to go in the ground. And just when we lifted it about, he said, you shouldn't plant the big tree. Why not? You should plant the smallest possible tree. I don't understand. Why should we wait so long? This little one's like this, the big one is like this. He said, when you plant big tree, the roots are already kind of growing in this little small area and they're curling. And when you put it in the ground, the roots will take a long, long time to adjust and make this and actually establish themselves in the soil. Whereas this little tree, the roots will immediately start growing perfectly straight and will have very powerful foundation. And then it will grow even faster and more healthier than the old tree. So we asked the devotee from Nasik, who happened to be the grower of all these trees. He has some botanical garden. We asked him, which tree is better? He said, the big one. Why is it bigger? Because it's big. But Sanat Kumar Prabhu was standing next to me, so I could not accept the answer. I said, well, tell me, which will grow better? He said, if you grow the big one, you'll have to put all kinds of sticks around it because it's already so big and the roots are not in the ground. If any wind comes, it will blow it down. If any animal comes, it will knock it down. It's very dangerous. Which will grow better? He said, the small one, because the big ones, the roots are already kind of accustomed and conditioned to a certain thing, and it will take a long time for those roots to actually start growing properly in the ground. But the young one will grow very, very nicely. I said, in 3 years, which of these trees will be bigger and healthier? He said, in 3 years, the small one will be bigger than the big one because it will grow nicely, the other will not. So we planted this little tiny one. It had 6 leaves. First time in my life, I felt like a seed-giving father. I never thought I'd get attached to a baby. But I found every single day in the morning I'd go down. Just like mothers see their little, they look in the mouth of their children and see their little teeth coming in. Every day I was going and seeing these little beautiful leaves coming in. I was so happy, a leaf, another little leaf is coming. It would bring such parental affection to my heart. So to get back to the philosophical side, in any project we try to develop, if the roots are not strong, then however it may appear to our vision, however big, however glorious, however great, however grandiose, however successful, any wind of Maya can just blow it right down. It may really, really have to struggle to grow at all from where it is. However, if the roots are strong, then everything will flourish. Prabhupada began his society, 22nd Avenue. A few people just watered, carefully watering their lives with his compassion. They became strong and gradually it was bigger, bigger, bigger. The roots of our society is our devotees. If they are strong spiritually, if they are satisfied socially, if they have faith, faith in their leaders, faith in each other, trust, then nothing can stop this society from growing and growing and growing. Kadamba tree represents bhakti. Unless this tree of our society has very strong roots that are well established in the soil, in Krishna consciousness, we cannot properly grow. We cannot sustain the winds of Maya. Therefore, it is the first and most important priority that the devotees are cared for and inspired. The leader should be thinking in this way. But the other devotees shouldn't simply be waiting for the leaders to do something. Everybody, whoever they are, should be trying to create this environment. One of the presidents of the United States, he said a famous speech, "Ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country." Everyone's waiting for someone else to make some resolution or to make some policy or to have some meeting and come out with some wonderful, wonderful solution to the problems of my misery. But that is not the proper attitude. The attitude is, whoever we are, however insignificant our position may be, we should all be striving to create this environment where love and trust can prevail, where respect and honoring toward Vaishnavas is inculcated in people's hearts. And that can only come genuinely when there is a spirit of servitude. When devotees adopt this mood of being the servant of the servant of the servant, there will naturally be love and trust. There will be respect. There will be enthusiasm and inspiration. There will be glorious kirtans of the holy name. But without that spirit of Vaishnav association, then everything in our Krishna consciousness gradually becomes ritualistic and even burdensome. If the devotees are united and inspired, you want to do service. You're happy to do service. You're eager. If not, it becomes a burden. Why do I have to do this again? Therefore, Srila Prabhupada is putting great emphasis that the perfect, most ideal situation is when in a temple the devotees are properly inspired and respected and cared for, and the deity is being worshipped with great attention and affection by those devotees. Because what is the use of all of our affection and desire to inspire from one another if it's not centered on Krishna? Sometimes devotees, I have seen, it's happening a lot in the Western world, they leave the association of devotees to join some type of seminar group or counseling type of group or other type of society where they're just teaching how to be good to each other, how to be kind to each other, how to be respectful to each other, how to be loving toward another. And devotees are thinking, this is what I'm looking for. But all these sentiments are centered around one's own personal selfish desire to enjoy. Therefore, no spiritual advancement. Maybe some sattva-guna, goodness. But unless it's all centered on pleasing Krishna and worshiping Krishna, it's just wet stool instead of dry stool. Living this society of devotees to enjoy wet stool. The pigs don't like dry stool. They'll eat it if they're hungry enough, but they like nice succulent stool. So these nice loving relationships with other, it's mundane, it's material, it will cause another birth. unless it's centered around Krishna. So we want relationships that are full of love and care and respect in a spirit of service. But Krishna must be in the center. Otherwise, it is simply sentimentalism. But when Krishna is in the center, that environment becomes Vaikuntha, the spiritual world, where everyone is united in worshipping the deities of Sri Sri Radha Madhava, Radha Shyam Sundar, Radha Gopinath. That is our purpose. We come together to give glorious offerings of service to the deity. And we know the most glorious offering we can worship to the deity with is our encouraging and inspiring the devotees to love Krishna. This is very important. It is essential. Then, however small and simple and insignificant we may be, if we live by those principles, the kadamba tree of our lives, our society, and all the leaves, branches, twigs, which is the devotees on this tree, they will all flourish. The tree will grow and grow and grow and produce wonderful flowers, wonderful fruits, give shade to the whole world from the scorching heat of material existence. That is what Srila Prabhupada is speaking in this purport today. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was living here in Navadvip, he personally demonstrated how much he cared for, loved, and protected his devotees with Krishna in the center. When he was at Srivasangam, every night he was having kirtan with the devotees, dancing, 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 ecstatically chanting the holy names. So many envious materialistic people would blaspheme him, blaspheme the Vaishnavas, blaspheme the process of Harinam Sankirtan. But there were also pious people. They were very upset with these blasphemers, because the only aspiration in their life was to see the dancing of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and to join his kirtan. They were thinking in their hearts, because of our impious deeds, because of our sins in previous lives, we are not qualified to enter into the kirtan of Lord Gauranga. But we can only pray. But these blasphemers, they are insulting the devotees so much, the Lord will never show us his kirtan because of them. So one morning, just after sunrise, many of the people of Navadvip came to Nimai Pandit's house to offer their love to him in the form of obeisances and gifts. They brought him cloth and fruits and flowers. They brought him grains, many auspicious offerings. And with love in their hearts, they bowed down to him. They wanted to serve him. They wanted to please him. The Lord was so pleased by their service and their genuinely honest, simple nature, he gave them a wonderful gift. He told the residents of Nadia, please serve Krishna. Chant the names of Krishna. Please discuss the glories of Krishna amongst each other. Please hear, today I am going to give you
the Mahamantra.
Happily accept this Mahamantra.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Hare. These 16 names, composed of 32 syllables, will purify your heart and awaken ecstatic love of Krishna within you. Chant this mantra in any place, at any time, in all circumstances. There are no hard and fast rules for chanting this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Gather together with your wives, your husbands, your children, your parents. Clap your hands and chant this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. You may also chant this mantra. Hari Haraye Namo Krishna Yadavaya Nama. Hari Haraye Namo Krishna Yadavaya Nama. Gopa Govinda Ram Sri Madhusudana. Gopal Govinda Ram Sri Madhusudana. Hari Haraye Namo Krishna Yadavaya Nama. Hari Haraye Namo Krishna Yadavaya Nama. Gopal Govinda Ram Sri Madhusudana. Gopal Govinda Ram Sri Madhusudana. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. In your homes, with your family members and your friends, come together, clap your hands, chant these holy names of the Lord. This is the gift that I give to all of you. When the residents of Navadvip heard this message, it spread throughout Nadia. Soon, everywhere you would go, throughout Navadvip Dham, there were people chanting the holy names. At sunset, families would come together in their homes, at their doorsteps, on the roads, clapping their hands, chanting. Some took the instruments that they used to worship Goddess Durga with, and they used those for kirtan. There was mridangas, kartals, conch shells blowing everywhere in Navadvip. There was a tumultuous sound. Nothing else could be heard in the whole of Nadia except the loud chanting of the holy name. Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki. People were dancing, people were singing everywhere. Joy spread throughout the land. But there was one thing they didn't ever get to see that they were longing for. They never saw Lord Gauranga dance. One day, the governor of Nadia, Chand Kazi, he happened to be inspecting his kingdom. He came into Navadvip, and in all directions, he was hearing the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. He was furious. He began to scream in great anger. This is outlawed. Where in the Quran does it tell us to chant the names of these Hindu gods? Stop this chanting at once, or you will be punished. He began to terrorize the devotees. He had approximately 1,000 brutal soldiers who Vrindavan Das called Gundas. Patrolling the streets at all time with the order that if there is any sound of the names of these Hindu gods, the people would be beaten, their wealth would be plundered, and they may even be put in prison. The devotees became very afraid. They came before Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They said, "My Lord, perhaps we should go to another city and do this Harinam Sankirtan." The Chankasi, he has 1,000 Gundas patrolling the streets, beating us, plundering us, threatening us, attacking. What are we to do? Lord Chaitanya smiled. He said, "You don't fear anything. You just go on chanting this holy names of Krishna." The people went back. They had to follow the Lord's instruction. But it was very difficult. One day the Chankasi came to the house of Srivas Thakur. He heard the chanting. He and his men started beating the devotees. Then he personally picked up a murdanga and crashed it to the ground, broken to pieces. He said, "Today, I am not going to punish you too much because it's almost nighttime. But if ever again I catch anyone performing these vain Hindu rituals, I will beat you. I will destroy you." Kazi said that for so many years you Hindus were not performing any public ceremonies. Why all of a sudden you're doing it now? If this Nimai Pandit interferes with my laws, you see what I will do to you. The devotees were terribly frightened. They returned to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and reported to him what was done. Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu became angry as fire. He raised his arms and called out, "Nityananda, hear me with great attention. At this very moment, go to the homes of the Vaishnavas and you declare this order. Today, I will go into the streets of Navadvip. One day the Chankasi came to the house of Srivas Thakur. He heard the chanting. He and his men started beating the devotees. Then he personally picked up a murdanga and crashed it to the ground, broken to pieces.
He said, today, I am not going to punish you too much because it's almost nighttime. But if ever again I catch anyone performing these vain Hindu rituals, I will beat you. I will destroy you. Kazi said that for so many years you Hindus were not performing any public ceremonies. Why all of a sudden you're doing it now? If this Nimai Pandit interferes with my laws, you see what I will do to you. The devotees were terribly frightened. They returned to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and reported to him what was done. Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu became angry as fire. He raised his arms and called out, Nityananda, hear me with great attention. At this very moment, go to the homes of the Vaishnavas and you declare this order. Today, I will go into the streets of Navadweep. I will perform Harinam Sankirtan. I want to see who is going to stop me. Today, I will go to the front doorstep of the Chan Kazi and I will loudly chant the holy name. I would smash his house to pieces. I will burn it with fire. Today, I will create a great rainstorm of pure devotional service, of ecstatic love of Krishna, and I will inundate the entire Navadvipa town. Today, time personified will stand before the blasphemers. Oh, people of Nadia. Oh, my brothers. Go and report this message everywhere. Tell everyone that if they want to see Krishna's great secret, they should come to my home. Armed with a torch. Everyone prepare torches. Take your lunch and this afternoon assemble here. The word spread far and wide. Nimai Pandit said, the numberless universes are the servants of my servants. You have nothing to fear. When I am present, be fearless. Come with your torches. Today we will have in the streets of Nadia the Harinam of the Holy Name. Everywhere in Nadia, people were talking. Our prayer, our longing will be achieved. Today, Nimai Pandit will dance. We will see him dance. Every house was busy preparing their torches. The fathers were preparing torches. Their sons were preparing torches. All big torches, no small torches. They were so enthusiastic in this torch-making lila that some families made thousands of torches. They were soaking them in oil. Everyone was so excited that Nimai Pandit is going to come out. We have never seen him. We have never heard him singing. Today he is going to perform Harinam Sankirtan through the streets of Navadvip. There was so much excitement. Everyone forgot about lunch. The whole of Navadvip was just making torches. Then they all gathered at the home of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. He stood before them with his beautiful golden form. He induced them all to begin kirtan. Then he personally instructed how the kirtan would be performed. Adwaitacharya, you dance in the first party and all the other devotees will sing. Haridas Thakur, you dance in the next party and all the devotees will sing. Srivas Thakur, in the next party, you dance. And in the rear, I will dance. Nityananda Prabhu, I cannot give up your association. You will dance with me. Gadadhar Pandit Prabhu, you will dance. Loud chanting of the holy names began. Then the sun began to set. And Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu loudly roared, Hari Hari! Hari Hari! Hari Hari! Knowing the indication at that moment, everyone lit their torches. It was a miraculous scene. Cannot be imagined. The entire sky was just effulgent, lighter than the daytime. There were literally millions and millions and millions of torches blazing. Then Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu, in the midst of the devotees, began such a beautiful dance. His beautiful black hair was curled around his moon-like face. His eyebrows were practically touching his ears, and beneath them were the most elegant, merciful, lotus-like eyes. His nose was raised like a sesame flower. His lips were red, bright like the bimba fruit. His arms were like two golden pillars. His shoulders like that of an elephant. His neck like a lion. His broad chest, his thin waist. He had jasmine flowers beautifully decorating his hair. There was an elegant garland that was hanging down below his knees. As he was dancing, he was in such ecstasy that tears were flowing from his eyes like the Ganga. His hairs were standing on end, similar to the Kadamba flower. His limbs were trembling. As he was dancing through the groves of Nadia, at one moment, his body would be completely covered with dust, and then at the next moment, the torrents of tears flowing from his eyes would bathe all the dust from his body. Then his body would again be covered with dust, but then his own tears would give his own body abhishekam. The beauty of his form was so enchanting that everyone of Nadia was running to see him, just to welcome Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Every single house, millions of houses, they decorated the front of their homes. They put banana trees. Then they put bananas and coconuts and mangoes, various auspicious types of leaves. They had burning ghee lamps, rice, yogurt, and other things sprinkled around. It was such a beautiful sight, just for the pleasure of the eyes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he would pass their homes. There was such loud, tumultuous chanting of the holy names. No one could hear anything else. The sound was so tumultuous that it rose beyond the heavenly planets to Vaikuntha. This kirtan was so ecstatic that everyone was running from their homes. Men forgot their wives, forgot their children, forgot their parents. Women forgot their husbands, their children. They forgot their homes. They forgot who they were. Everyone was simply running to see Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu dance, seeing that no one was left in their homes. The thieves considered this was the most auspicious opportunity to rob the houses. The thieves started running to the homes to rob them. But when they saw the dancing of the Lord and his devotees and heard the chanting, they forgot that they were thieves. And in ecstasy, they raised their arms, dancing and dancing and dancing while chanting the holy name. Of the millions of people that attended that kirtan, because they were chanting with such feeling and devotion, Vaikuntha descended in Navadvip. Every single participant of that kirtan transformed to have four arms. But yet, everyone was so engrossed in the holy name, so engrossed in seeing the beautiful face of Lord Chaitanya, not a single person saw this incredible opulence. Nobody recognized that everybody around them had four arms, including themselves. They were simply too immersed in chanting the holy names. During this kirtan, everyone was simply fixing their mind on the lotus moon-like face of Lord Chaitanya. He was casting his glance upon everyone. He was in such ecstasy that sometimes during that kirtan, he transformed into Krishna and started playing his flute. Such ecstatic symptoms were manifesting everywhere on his body. And he was filling the world with love of God. The demigods, hearing this uproarious kirtan, they all came down from the heavenly planets with their wives and disguised themselves as human beings and joined the Sankirtan of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. People were so affectionate toward each other, because kirtan is meant to create not only love for Krishna, but love for Krishna's devotees. During this kirtan, people were just embracing each other with love. People were grabbing onto each other's feet. Some people were tying their hair to other people's feet. They were jumping on each other's shoulders. They were slapping each other's arms. Everyone was in the ecstasy of Sankirtan. And Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu was crying out, Harivo! Harivo! This kirtan went through all the towns and villages of Navadvip. Then the Lord came to Mahaprabhu Ghat, his own bathing ghat. He went to Nagariya Ghat, Barakona Ghat. And he started approaching the house of Chand Kazi. Chand Kazi heard from a distance that
this loud, loud chanting. He asked his assistants, "What is that? Go see." Meanwhile, while all the devotees were just, the whole town was just intoxicated in the holy name. It is explained, complete bliss covered all directions. There was nothing but ecstasy in everyone's hearts, except the blasphemers. They couldn't appreciate the kirtan. The smart Brahmins, they were saying, "Look at these sentimental fools dancing and chanting in the streets. They're disturbing the whole neighborhood. Wait till the Chankazi sees them. Ha ha, we know. Let us go. Let us tell the Chankazi what they're doing. The Chankazi will come and these sentimental cowards will run for their lives when he comes with his soldiers. Ah, we will see for ourselves." The kirtan was so ecstatic, sometimes even the blasphemers forgot they were blasphemers. They became intoxicated chanting the holy names. Chankazi's servants went out to see what was happening. They came back and told Chankazi, "It's very dangerous. This Nimai Pandit, he's dancing, and there's millions of people. And let me tell you what happened. We went out there with your authority, fearlessly. And we heard people chanting, 'Death to the Kazi!' Some of the people, they were in ecstasy. They were jumping, they were leaping, they were rolling on the ground. Other people were saying, 'I will catch the blasphemers and crush their heads.'" This was their ecstasy. "We will burn down the house of Kazi." This is what they're saying. Chankazi said, "I think that Nimai Pandit must be on some sort of Hindu wedding procession. Some marriage, they're all chanting and doing this. I will not allow this. I am the authority in Navadweep. I will stop this chanting. This is against our laws. You see what I will do to them today." Then Mahaprabhu led the kirtan into the village of Simulia. It was getting close to Chankazi's house. The kirtan was so loud, millions and millions and millions of people at the top of their voices crying out with pure love and devotion the holy names. Chankazi heard this, he became scared to death. And all of his soldiers and ministers, they became so afraid, Chankazi ran to hide. And the soldiers, they started running, all of his assistants, they started running away to hide. But there was nowhere to hide. The entire Navadweep was covered by this Harinam Sankirtan. They were running away and they found themselves right in the middle of the kirtan. And not only were people chanting Hare Krishna, but they were chanting, "Death to the Kazi! Death to the blasphemers!" They became very, very much terrified. They took off their turbans and hid them. They started hiding their beards like this. And so no one would recognize him. They started dancing and chanting the holy name. Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu came to the Akan Kazi's house. The people were screaming out. They were destroying his outer wall. They were tearing apart his gardens. They started dismantling his house. The Chan Kazi was hiding in the corner of a room, trembling in fear. Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu came to his front door and called, "Chan Kazi, I have come. I am your guest." One of his servants was there. The Lord said, "Tell Chan Kazi, I want to see him." The Chan Kazi came down. Lord Chaitanya, knowing he was an honorable government head, the Lord offered him a proper seat. He said, "Chan Kazi, I have come as a guest to your home. Why did you not come and welcome me? Why were you hiding?" Chan Kazi said, "Because you came in a very angry mood. And you have many angry people with you. But I waited until you became a little calm, then I came down." Chan Kazi said, "Actually, my residence is Bel Pukaria. In the same village is Nilambar Chakravarti Thakur, your maternal grandfather. Because I am coming from the same village as Nilambar Chakravarti Thakur, I have always addressed him as uncle. So because he is my uncle, therefore you are my nephew." And an uncle always tolerates whatever the nephew does. And also, the nephew will very, very nicely forgive any offenses that the uncle does. Lord Chaitanya was so kind. He said, "Yes, you are my uncle. My dear uncle, I have a question that I would like you to answer." "Yes, please. What is the question?" "You are drinking the milk from cow, and the bull is tilling your field. Therefore, the cow and the bull are taking the role of your mother and father. Then why? Why are you and your people slaughtering your own mothers and fathers and eating their flesh and drinking their blood? Tell me this." The Chan Kazi replied that just as in your Vedas, there are many injunctions for different types of people, similarly, in our scripture, the Holy Quran, there are two paths. The path for the materialistic people to gradually elevate them, which promotes many types of sense gratification, and the path of renunciation for those who sincerely want to surrender to the one God. For those who are in the path of detachment and surrender, the killing and eating of animals is forbidden. But for those who are on the path of material enjoyment, the sanction is given. just as it is also given in your Vedas.
Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, according to the Vedas, if you kill, a cow is never to be killed. Never to be killed. And in the sacrifices, you can take an old animal. And by the chanting of mantras, when they are killed, they are given, that same soul is given a new youthful body.
So they are not killed, they are rejuvenated.
However, you Mohammedans, you do not know how to rejuvenate the dead bodies.
Therefore, if you kill cow, you have to suffer in hell. And all people who participate in this killing of cows will suffer in hell. This is my conclusion. Your scripture is full of mistakes and illusions. It is written according to time, place, and circumstances. Therefore, you should know these truths.
The Chankazi heard Lord Chaitanya speak. His heart melted. He said, my dear Nimai, everything you're saying is correct.
My scripture was written according to time, place, and circumstance, and it does not clearly explain the essence of the truth.
But you have revealed it to me.
But because I am in the society of these people, I must follow this scripture.
Then the Lord said, I have another question for you. What is that? This evening, we were chanting in Harinam Sankirtan in your streets all night long. Why didn't you stop us?
Chankazi said, I will tell you the reason in private.
Mahaprabhu said, no, these are my associates. Whatever is to be said can be said before them as well.
Chankazi explained that that night that I broke the mridanga in order to stop to the Harinam Sankirtan movement,
I came home and took rest. That night, in a dream, I saw this angry, ferocious being.
He had the body of a human being and the head and the claws of a lion. Sri Narasingha Dev Bhagavan Ki! He was angry. He started roaring. You, Kazi! You broke the mridanga. You stopped the chanting of my holy names. Today you will be destroyed. I will rip you to pieces.
Then he took his nails and put it on my chest and started ripping my chest.
I was trembling in fear. Please, no, no, no.
When the supernatural being saw me in that condition, he said, Kazi, you did not create too much of an offense yet, so I will not destroy you.
But if ever again you disturb my Sankirtan movement, I will be back to destroy you and to destroy the entire civilization of Malechas, Yavanas, and meteors.
Chankazi said, when I woke up, I saw something I want to share with you. He opened up his coat, and the Lord and all of his devotees saw the claw marks decorated by the blood of Chankazi on his chest. He said, I want to tell you something else. I sent my soldiers. I sent them out to stop the Sankirtan, to beat people, anyone chanting these names of Hindu God. And they all came back to me with the same problem. As soon as they went out and tried to stop a devotee, their beards set fire and started burning their faces, and they had to run back. One after another, all my soldiers, all... I sent them out to stop the Sankirtan, to beat people, anyone chanting these names of Hindu God. And they all came back to me with the same problem. As soon as they went out and tried to stop a devotee, their beards set fire and started burning their faces, and they had to run back. One after another, all my soldiers, all their beards were burnt, and their faces were burnt as well. And some of my soldiers, they came back and told me that these people, the only thing they do is chant Hari Hari, Hari Hari, Hari Hari, Hari Hari, Hari Hari, Hari Hari. I told them, well, they're chanting. Why are you chanting? And the only thing my soldiers could tell me in reply was, Hari Hari! Hari Hari! Hari Hari! They tried to hold their mouths, but they couldn't hold it still. Their mouths were just crying out, Hari Hari! And then these smart Brahmins, Hindus, they were coming to me and telling me, you must stop this Nimai Pandit. These mantras are only meant to be chanted silently by Brahmins. He's corrupting our whole religion. It is your duty as a government official that you must stop them. But already, before they came, all my soldiers had burnt faces. They were all chanting Hari Hari. Narsingadev already, or this lion man came and ripped my chest. So I told the smart Brahmins, yes, yes, I will take care of everything. Just go home now. I understand, my Pandit, that the Supreme Lord of the Vedas is Lord Narayan. And today, faith in my heart has awakened that you are Lord Narayan. You are the one God. You are the absolute truth. You are the supreme personality of Godhead. You have come to deliver all living beings. My Lord, please forgive any offenses I have committed. On this very day, I surrender my life to your lotus feet. On this very day, I proclaim for all generations of my descendants that no one will ever disturb the Harinam Sankirtan movement of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu and his devotees. Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki! To this very day, the descendants of Chankazi have not disturbed the congregational chanting of the holy names. Chankazi
offered his obeisances and surrendered his heart to Lord Chaitanya. The Lord embraced him with great affection, filled his heart with ecstatic love for Krishna.
Then Mahaprabhu Sri Chaitanya went out into the streets with his devotees
and blissfully joined the chanting of the holy names. Chankazi came out to dance and chant with them. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him, "You go back home." From there, Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu led the kirtan party to Simantadweep, to the house of Kolavecha Sridhar. There, that very simple, poor banana leaf seller named Kolavecha lived in a simple thatched hut. The only possession he had was an old beaten up iron pot that was so worthless by material standards, even the most desperate thief in all of society would not even look toward it. He kept it at his doorstep. He used it for drinking and for other menial purposes of his own private body. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu picked up that old iron pot and drank the water from it, the water that had been drunk by his devotee Sridhar. Sridhar called out, "Now I am dead, now I am dead. I have drunk that water, my lord. How can you drink it?" He fell to the ground. The Lord replied that after many births, today, finally, I have achieved ecstatic love of Krishna because I have tasted the water from the pot of Kolavecha Sridhar. The Lord is always eager to glorify his devotees. The Lord's greatest ambition is to be the servant of the servant of the servant of his devotees. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself. Naham vipranacha narapatira napi vaishya na shudra. I'm not a Brahman Chachya Vaishya Shudra. I'm not a Brahmachari Grihastha Vanaprastha Sannyasi. I have one aspiration and one identity. The servant of the servant of the servant of the gopis, lover Krishna. If Krishna himself is always eager to serve his servants, then what an exalted position it is for us to surrender to the process of being the servant of the servant of the servant. Krishna washed the feet of Sudama Vipra with great care and love. Lord Sri Ramchandra offered puja to his devotee Shiva at Rameshwaram. Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu would wash the clothes of his devotees, would fold the clothes, would carry items to their houses. He was always eager to be the servant of the servant of the servant. And the Lord performed this great pastime of the deliverance of Chankazi to care and protect his devotees. It was the first time in history that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took his Sankirtan public. And it was a reaction to the most inconceivably fearful persecution. If we just take shelter of Krishna when there are obstacles and problems in our lives, those problems open the doors to the greatest, most auspicious opportunity for Krishna consciousness.
His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada is so kindly speaking in this purport today. How important it is to transcend all controversies and unite in a spirit of caring for the Vaishnavas, enlightening the Vaishnavas, serving the Vaishnavas, centered around the glorification of the deity in the temple. And through this process, Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu's mercy will spread throughout the whole world. And what is that mercy? That anyone, anywhere, at any time can achieve the ultimate perfection of life if we just learn how to serve Vaishnavas, learn how to be a compassionate servant to the fallen souls, and enlighten the world, enlighten one another, and enlighten our own hearts with the loud, sincere chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. This beautiful temple of Sri Panchatattva in Sri Mayapur Dham is the center of the universe for Vaishnavas. His Grace Jananivas Prabhu, Pankajangari Prabhu, and their team of devotees, they're so wonderfully, so humbly serving the devotees, glorifying the deities. Their arms are raised, inviting the whole world to chant the holy names with them. And by chanting before the Panchatattva, someday, and that day will come, it is the promise of our acharyas that we will be personally, face to face, with Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhara, Vasudi Gaur Bhaktivinoda, singing and dancing the holy names in the spiritual world. Prabhupada traveled the world inviting everyone and anyone, please join this Sankirtan party of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. On behalf of all of the devotees of our Gaurmandala Yatra, we would like to very deeply, from the bottom of our hearts, thank all of the devotees of Sri Mayapur Dham for their wonderful, wonderful mercy, wonderful prasad, wonderful accommodations, wonderful hospitality, such a wonderful environment you have all created here. We would like to officially fall at the lotus feet of all the residents of ISKCON Mayapur Chandrudaya Mandir and beg for your mercy and offer our heartfelt obeisances. Panchakalpatrubhyascha kripa sindubhya eva cha patitanam bhavanibhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah. Ananti koti vaishnava vrinda ki jai.
traps in our house so that at night they can attack and steal from us. Upon hearing these accusations, Lord Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur would simply laugh, smile, and go on with their preaching. One day they came upon two drunken, powerful, demoniac beings. They were cursing, they were fighting with each other. People were gathered around from a distance watching them. Nityananda Prabhu asked, "Who is this?" They are Jagai and Madhai. Previously, they were born of Brahmin families, named as Jagannath and Madhavananda.